You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And reporter jailed in Iran could know this week whether he'll go free. Jason Rezaian had what his attorney said was the final hearing on unspecified charges today. The attorney says Iranian law calls for a verdict to be issued by next Monday. Iran arrested Rezaian and his wife at their home in Tehran more than a year ago. This is USA Headline News.
Bob was miserable. His website was invisible, buried 3, 4, 5 pages deep. No one could find Bob's site, not his neighbor, 6 employees, or even the dog. Then Bob found Tizzible, T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E, the most powerful local search booster on the planet. Now everyone locally is finding Bob's website. Business is booming. Bob's happy. And so is the dog. Catapult your business on the map for customers searching for companies just like yours. Get Tizzible at Tizzible.com. That's T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. Get your website visible. Get Tizzible.
Mega investor Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is about to finalize its biggest business deal ever. Buffett's company is on the verge of buying aerospace parts maker Precision Castparts for more than $30 billion. That tops Berkshire Hathaway's 2009 purchase of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad for about $27 billion. Every year, young children die from heat stroke after being left alone in a hot car. Dr. Joanne Robinson with the Cleveland Clinic says it's a common myth that caring and attentive parents are immune to this type of tragic accident.
About 50% of children that are left in a car are left in a car by a loving parent. Many times it has to do with a change in their routine or simple fatigue.
Researchers estimate that half of hot car incidents involve a sleeping child who's forgotten by a loving caregiver in the back seat. Some people believe that cracking a window will help keep the car cool, but that's also a myth because car windows create a greenhouse effect and temperatures can rise quickly. Dr. Robinson says it's important to remember that a child's body temperature rises 3 to 5 times faster than an adult's. She says a cool outdoor temperature doesn't mean a parked car will be safe for little ones inside.
It is a myth to think that if it's 60 degrees outside that your car will not heat up. It can heat up to dangerously high temperatures over a period of time.
Join us here and online at usaheadlinenews.com for more special interest stories, news, and headlines. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's in the I-7 at 78 outside right now. Let's see, today, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Could get tonight, maybe some heavy rain. Could be an inch or so of precipitation in some areas. Tuesday showers, likely possibly a thunderstorm in the early afternoon, and then some showers and thunderstorms likely after 2 p.m. Chance of precip on Tuesday, about 70%. Tuesday night also, showers and thunderstorms likely. In the evening, otherwise cloudy, with low around 63. Wednesday, sunny, high in the 80s. Down in the about 60 on Wednesday night. Thursday again, clear, high near 80. And then Thursday night, maybe down in the upper 50s. And looks like clear for the weekend. So we've got to get through some early rain in the week, and then looks all clear for another great summer weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, Chef Bill here. Welcome to the table. I was away last week. Hopefully you enjoyed the rewind. Always some good shows in our files there. The chef locally at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. Serving the community for 24 years plus. And we get at the table every Monday around this time to talk about food occasions. Been working our way through the alphabet with menu terms and utensils. And we're getting toward the end. W is today. Getting options are getting kind of lean, so we'll usually find something. Oh, the upcoming events in locally, August 23rd at T-Berry's on Main Street, it's now annual Corn and Tomato Festival. Worked very well last year. Local restaurants had samples of dishes made with Jersey corn and Jersey tomatoes, or two popular products, although probably eggplant is one of our great products that, the most volume. Eggplant, you wouldn't think of it, but I guess we're a large producer of eggplant. Many kind of varieties also. Our farmer, Sansone Farms, he always brings us some nice ones, not just the big purple ones, but long ones, Italian ones, Japanese ones, white ones. You know, there's many different ones out there. It behooves us to explore those other varieties, especially the smaller ones. A little less spongy, a little more firm. Makes a great summer ratatouille. Using some of the zucchinis and peppers and all the and tomatoes, all the smacks of New Jersey in the summertime. So the Corn and Tomato Festival, so there will be some vendors there, plus restaurants giving samples, and there's a brewery in Flemington now, Conclave is the name. We're featuring a beer at the restaurant over at Jake's, and we're going to be serving that there, selling beer. We'll have some wine also, always. And we found a drink that we can actually use Jersey tomatoes with. Michelada, it's called, Michelada. It's south of the border, favorite, sometimes made even without tomatoes. It's kind of caught on in Europe also. It's, closest thing, if you remember old school bloody beer, you have Bloody Mary mix and beer mixed half and half, and that was always kind of the next day's little hair of the dog that bit you, if you will. It's lighter. If you're mixing something already low in alcohol with a juice, it's not gonna hurt you too much. So this one we're actually making some Jersey tomato juice. We took several of our varieties of tomatoes. We have the Romas and the Rounds. Our farmers, he's got about 60 varieties growing this year. And, a couple of the multicolored cocktail tomatoes. So we blended a bunch together. And a lot of tomato juice recipes, you end up cooking it. And that's, you get the thick stuff that you buy in the can. We wanted to keep this refreshing. So this drink is, it's beer with, and we're making this Jersey tomato juice and season it with a Mexican hot sauce. Tapatio is the brand we're using, and putting in some fresh lime juice, some Worcestershire, a little soy, give it that little bit of salt. Some recipes call for Maggi seasoning, which, if you're not familiar with Maggi, it's a caramel extract similar to Kitchen Bouquet. I'm used to make gravies brown. It's basically just vegetable caramel, and I guess that would sweeten it. We're gonna use we'll tomatoes are pretty sweet as they are. And then tajin, T-A-J-I-N, this little spice. It's dried chilies and dried dehydrated lime and sea salt. We're going to rim the glass with that. So you have a few ice cubes and some of the juice and beer. We're making the seasoned juice with the lime and the sauce, and it's much more refreshing than a Bloody Mary. You know, Bloody Mary, you got the vodka in there, and people load it up with stuff. And when you're making the juice, we puree a little bit of a little bit of onion. You can do a little cucumber if you like. That's peeled and seeded just to get a little bit more juice. But this is going to be much lighter. So we're featuring that at the restaurant now as a special drink and lead-in. And then on the 23rd, we'll be selling them there. So hopefully you get to the Corn and Tomato Festival and enjoy all the good food. I know the restaurants all put their best foot forward. And it's a great party. He's heard your name. All right, so while we were away, you know, eating the week, as we call it, take these from the book, Steph Duchenne. It's a every day is a food day, some designated by government, some by tradition, you know. Last week, what the third was watermelon. It was a week ago today, and of course, at Jake's last couple of years, we've watermelon and feta salad, very, very popular. It's a nice, if you think of it, it's a good fruit and cheese combination. You've got the sharpness of the feta and that watermelon, a little bit of sweetness. We use a little bit of arugula to put the bitter in there, and just a simple red wine vinaigrette. We also julienne some jicama in there. Jicama, very nice, refreshing vegetable, if you want to call it. It's kind of tastes like an unripe pear. It's got the texture of a pear, so it puts a little bit more crunch in the salad. So again, really refreshing. We'll run it as long as the watermelons are good. The fifth was Oyster Day last week, and actually we're going to do that in a recipe combined with some of this week's things. The oysters, of course, Sunday we have the buckashuck at the restaurant. Dollar oysters all day while they last. And many people are coming and enjoying that, especially, you know, you don't think of it. It used to be oysters didn't get shipped in the summer, but of course now with our refrigeration and sourcing them from many areas north, I pretty much stick to Connecticut and north of that, Prince Edward Island, Maine, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. Try to use the East Coast oysters. They're a little bit closer. The sixth, root beer float day. Nice summer concoction there. And then the seventh was raspberries and cream, another raspberry day. The raspberries, I think there's four of them in this month, because the 11th tomorrow is raspberry bomba, which is a spherical ice cream / custard frozen thing, making layers. I kind of think of an Italian spumoni, or it could be raspberry tart day. And I think that's the end of the raspberry holidays. The eighth was zucchini, ninth was rice pudding. Today is S'mores Day. S'mores is something I missed. I guess I don't know, when I was in Boy Scouts, we did cook different things over the campfire, but apparently it's still, I know with my nieces and nephews, the summertime, and my youngest brother, I mean, his family, every night, you know, you light up the fire pit and toast some marshmallows and make the s'mores, the crackers and the chocolate. And there's, you know, many desserts out there. They're doing a takeoff on that. And I guess that little nostalgia thing. The 12th, julienne fries. So we've already had French fry day about a month ago. And these are the julienne, the very thin ones. Sometimes use a mandolin. Shoestrings, maybe some people call them. Cook up a little bit quicker. And actually, if you cook them all the way, you have those nice potato sticks that people like. 13th, filet mignon, which we're going to delve into today. Related decks, you're going to combine it with our oysters and also with our W word, Wellington. So we'll go into that for techniques. 14th, creamsicle day. 15th, lemon meringue pie. And then 16th is rum. We'll go show you something quick to do with rum and ice cream. We're at the quarter hour. We got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at Chef Bill's table.
And all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, huntertonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, going through the, we had our eat the week, so yes, we're going to talk about filet mignon, about oysters, and also, oh, letter W for our utensils, down to, yeah, we find a couple, although very useful ones. Obvious one would be the whisk or the whip, and I guess in years ago, we all had what we call the egg beaters, little crank thing that with the two beaters on it kind of simulated the stand mixer, and you could use those to blend things. The whisk is what we use professionally. I think more and more people are discovering this for whipping cream, for egg whites, stirring sauces, especially you want to, when you're adding liquid to a roux, you want to keep it well stirred, well blended, so you don't get lumps in there. There's two types. There's the balloon whisk, and that's the it's kind of shaped like, more like a light bulb, if you will, and the thinner wires, and that's what you use to incorporate air into things when you're adding volume to things. And then the standard, the, what we call a roux whip, or a heavy one, the not as it's more of an elongated shape, like a, I guess like a baton or a bat, if you will. These are sturdier metal wires for making your sauces, stirring, say tomato sauce, as I already said, making gravies and things like that. So you don't incorporate as much air into things, but you're more get that blending going on. And actually, of course, the problem is with the, especially balloon whisk, where do you put it? Doesn't, a lot of them don't fit in the drawer. You end up hanging them up somewhere. actually had one for years that I used. It was flat, so it just had several wires bent around in the, you know, the elongated oval shape attached at the handle, and actually the thing worked pretty well. And of course, again, laid flat in the drawer, so that was another one of, I don't know, over the years, whether I find them or whether people know you're a chef, they give you neat little tools sometimes. Oftentimes they're not really meant for doing more than one thing, but pretty interesting, the ones I've seen over the years. So that's one option if you don't have a place to hang it up. If if you don't do a lot of whisking or whipping, the flat one is also a kind of a interesting innovation on that. And of course, a whetstone, W-H-E-T, stone is for sharpening knives. And actually, it does work better with a little oil or water on it. Gets that grain going in the stone. A water bath. Sometimes you'll see instructions for things baked in a water bath. We do this custards, pâtés sometimes. What that does is kind of slows down that heat. Where you're not looking to really brown things too much. You want to slow down that heat in the oven. So you'll put your product, let's say it's a creme brulee or a custard, in a roasting pan, and then add hot water to the pan. And I'd advise you to do this once the pan's in the oven. Put the dishes in there, and then just pour the water from a pitcher. Don't try to fill the pan and put the dishes in, then carry it to the oven. You're going to have a spill. And then, of course, a cold water bath would be for chilling things down. The best way to, if you've got a, you know, batch of sauce or something you want to chill and refrigerate, we'll do this in our kitchens also. You'll have some ice water in a larger vessel and put your sauce in a container in this, and again, with your spoon or your whisk, you stir it periodically. And by convection, the ice and water will kind of cool the sauce down pretty quickly. And I never want to put something steaming hot in your refrigerator, especially if you cover it right away. You've got condensation in there, and oftentimes things may sour on you. Plus, it'll raise the temperature of your refrigerator too much. So you always kind of pre-chill things in a cold water bath before you refrigerate them. And, of course, the wok, nice W word, great tool. One of the more versatile kitchen tools there is. When you think about it, it always intrigued me. When I started getting, you get interested in stir frying and, I guess, Chinese food or East Asian food, if you will. You figure the best ones, of course, just a good steel one. If you have an electric stove, it's a little tough. You can get them now with a flat bottom on them, so they can conduct the heat from the electric burner. But the iron or steel ones are best. They conduct the heat very well. I've used an electric one. Never really gets hot enough, and of course, the recovery time is what's important. That's why you want to get the wok very hot. And then keep the flame high. And of course, it's difficult on a home stove to simulate the stir frying in a commercial range. Many, many more, 10,000, maybe four times the BTUs of your burner in your house. But for quick food, you can't beat it. And of course, you use it as a smoker, which we'll talk about today, how to set it up for that. You like smoked foods and you want to do them indoors. We'll show you a quick way. Actually, smoked tenderloin is very good using the fillet. Smoked shrimp, very simple, quick. It's kind of like a hot smoking process, but I've had good results with that. You can use it as a deep fryer. Sometimes we talk about frying things. You do a deep pot. Well, the wok really, because of the larger surface area, you don't have to fill it, too deep. I guess you could almost do your shallow frying in there too, but many, many stir fries call for an initial frying of something in oil, and then you drain that oil and always strain it and save it for the next use, and then just use a little bit of oil for your stir fry. Also, as a steamer, Walk is very handy as a steamer, and if any of you tried this with the liquid, sometimes even with a broth, if you want to infuse, say, a fish or chicken with more flavor, a little bit of water or broth in the steamer, and then, of course, you have your bamboo baskets, which allow the steam to penetrate through there. A lot of times, sir, you'll line those with maybe a lettuce leaf or a Napa cabbage leaf if you want, for mainly for your dim sum. But oftentimes, foods are steamed first before they're fried, for example, like a pre-cooking process. But one of the easiest ways, just a simple fish with some soy, ginger, and scallion, a little sesame oil, and you can actually, if you have a rack in there, you could steam things right on the plate if you want to. Very gentle way of cooking. Of course, the wok with a tight fitting lid, you can rest down there. Of course, for smoking or for steaming, makes it just a multitasker. True multitasker, as Alton Brown says. Yeah, so when you're using this as a smoker, sometimes you can find in the stores little kits, little table stovetop smokers. Essentially, even the commercial ones are just a big steel pan with a tight-fitting lid. You could use an old Dutch oven if you like. What I'd like to do with the wok or anything like that is line it with foil so you're not staining it with the wood, because what you're actually doing is putting wood chips in there. I've even used the little packets that come. Sometimes you can smoke with tea, with rice, brown sugar, different flavors you can do. But always line the wok or your pot with foil. And say something simple like hickory wood chips, and you can almost use sawdust at this point. But you get them soaked in water so they don't burn up right away. And you need paper toweling. And paper towels have to be damp. Also, you need a good cake rack that fits across the wok so it holds the product above the surface there, above where your smoke is. So preparation for this. So say you want to do smoked shrimp. So you have your peeled shrimp, and you take equal parts of salt, kosher salt, and sugar. You can put a little pepper in if you like. You mix this two together and you sprinkle it liberally on the shrimp and let them sit. Now, if you're going to cook them, you smoke them right away, you could probably let them hang out. But otherwise, in the cooler, the refrigerator, it's kind of like a quick dry cure. So you want to coat them with the salt and the sugar. And what you'll see happen is that something forms called a pellicle. The surface will start to get maybe change color a little bit, but get firm. This is what you want. The smoke will adhere to it better. So you brush off, or a quick rinse if you like, the excess salt and sugar, and you have your cake rack. So your wood chips with your foil-lined wok, you've got the fire on there, and you get them so they start throwing off a little bit of smoke. You have the shrimp on your cake rack. Set them in there. Now, you need to dampen the paper towels. Don't get them too wet. You want to dampen them. You have enough to make kind of a ring around where you're putting your cover. That kind of traps the smoke in there better. Instead of just putting the lid on the pan, I found this lining with the damp paper towels works very well. Gives you a nice tight seal. And literally, once the smoke starts happening, turn the heat down, and it's only a few minutes. I mean, it's shrimp. It's not going to take long to cook. Really infuses the smoke flavor very intensely. I would say if you're doing chicken, or even if you wanted to do smoked beef, which is really nice sliced for an appetizer, you may want to just do the smoke for a few minutes and then maybe finish cooking a conventional way. Otherwise, you really do, since the smoke's trapped in that small space, gives a very, very intense smoke flavor. Now, we like these shrimp served, you know, room temperature or chilled on a nice black bean and corn salad with some tomatoes. Again, your summer bounty. Take your local vegetables and add some cooked black beans and a light olive oil, red wine vinegar. We like a little oregano and cumin in there, a little lime juice, almost kind of making like a salsa. And this really works well with the smoked shrimp. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Six people have been arrested for ramming unoccupied police cars in the Las Vegas Valley since April. Deputy Chief Tom Roberts with the Metro Police says the suspects were doing multiple felony crimes per night.
What is really alarming is they're taking garage door openers and they're entering into garages while people are home asleep.
Police served several warrants at several local homes and businesses Friday. Police are investigating the violence that happened as the one-year anniversary of Michael Brown's death was coming to an end. Dozens of shots were fired during a late-night protest in Ferguson, Missouri last night. Authorities say a man opened fire directly on police. He was shot and critically wounded. Some of the thousands of firefighters who've been battling California's massive Rocky Fire are being sent to fight a new wildfire. The Jerusalem Fire is burning through dense brush and steep terrain about 7 miles outside the community of Middleton. Meanwhile, the Rocky Fire is now roughly 85% contained after destroying over 40 homes and charring nearly 70,000 acres. This is USA Headline News.
Do you have federal student loans? Would you like to lower your student loan payments or possibly have a portion of your loans forgiven? If you owe $10,000 or more, you may qualify for the government's income-based program, which means you could pay as little as $5 per month. If you're behind, late, or even if you're in default on your federal student loans, we can help consolidate your student loans into one affordable monthly payment and cut your payments right away. Federal Student Loan Services provides student loan relief, getting you relief from your federal student loans fast. If you owe $10,000 or more on your student loan, call our established student aid toll-free assistance line right now at 800-669-0290. Once qualified, we can fix your student loan problems guaranteed, and there is no credit check. Call 800-669-0290, 800-669-0290 now. We've helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loans. Our specialists are waiting for your call. Call 800-669-0290. Again,
800-669-0290. Okay, Chef Bill, we're back here at the table. And looking at, so we've got a, still a couple of terms here. Not many. Welsh rarebit, if you ever see that on a menu, kind of comes from rabbit. The Welsh apparently were too poor to have meat. So the rarebit is normally refers to cheese, oftentimes, most of the time cheddar. And toast, and the cheese usually would mix with some ale and some Worcestershire, almost like a, well, thicker than a soup. I know at the Lake Placid Club we used to do it. You have your toast points. We'd have a, actually the rare bit is also the name of a vessel. Sometimes you run into that where the dish and the recipe and the vessel are the same name. So sometimes you'll see casseroles that go in the oven referred to as rare bits, and you have your cheese mixture in there, and we would brown them a little bit. Sometimes you serve with bacon or with tomatoes, but basically cheese and toast. Wiener schnitzel, if you see that. The Wiener schnitzel would refer to veal. We do the Jaeger, which uses the pork at Jake's. Wiener would be a veal cutlet, and the schnitzel, of course, you'll see chicken, other things offered as schnitzels, basically breaded with white breadcrumbs. And we like to saute them. A lot of people throw them in the deep fryer. I like to do a mixture of clarified butter and canola oil. Just gives those crumbs. Crumbs are, you know, an important part of the schnitzel. You want them crispy. You want them tasting good. But also, wiener becomes a name for a hot dog. If you think of certain brands, they call them wieners. Oscar Mayer wieners, let's say, for instance. Probably started with Vienna Sausage Company. Of course, Wiener would be Austrian in origin. So the Vienna Sausage Company, probably, I think they're in Chicago, they would call the hot dogs wieners. And also the spelling in German or Austrian, the I-E is actually the long E sound. And a lot of times Americans would spell it the other way, W-E-I instead of I-E. But, of course, in German, that would actually be Weiner, Weiner, if you pronounce the W almost like a V. So you see that either way. And, of course, the classic was Wiener King, which my owner's family opened in the 60s locally here in Flemington. And Wiener was spelled the wrong way, W-E-I, but that was the name of their restaurant and corporation. And long story short, an outfit out of North Carolina, they went national, trademarked it, big court battle. They eventually changed theirs to the correct spelling, but they still said it was confusing. I don't know. Long story. Interesting court case to look up, though, to see the back and forth on somebody, even though as a corporation, if you don't trademark the name, sometimes you lose out later on. So anyway, those are some terminology you might see on menus. Wasabi, of course, we know is that, call it Japanese horseradish. It's a root. Most wasabi that's used, unfortunately, the powder is mostly the dry mustard powder with some of the little bit of the wasabi. Wasabi is very expensive, the genuine stuff. So if you get a chance, get the real stuff, but the powder, rehydrated, is what most places use. And also whiskey, another thing that confuses people. It's spelled two different ways. If you have whiskey that's spelled with an E, W-H-I-S-K-E-Y, that would be American whiskey or Irish whiskey. And then Scotland and Canada eliminate the E, it's W-H-I-S-K-Y. So either way is accepted, but really it really refers to the source of the product, so you don't want to confuse the two. In Scotland, of course, the Scotch is barley, malt. Canadian whiskey, corn, other grains, it's a lot lighter, they're added. Ireland is the malt, and then, of course, the United States, we have our bourbon and our rye, and then everything in between. Many things, but bourbon's probably what we're most noted for because of the high percentage of corn in it. But that's your difference, whiskey with an E and without. It's where it comes from. So we're celebrating filet, we're celebrating oysters in these Eat the Week. So we're going to do the carpetbagger steak and combine these both together in one dish. I don't know if it's an old dish concocted years ago. Of course, oysters centuries ago were very cheap and probably used to kind of even stretch out the filet a little bit. You think of carpetbaggers where that was kind of a derogatory term, somebody that kind of landed and took use of resources, faked people out, never good to be called a carpetbagger, but sometimes it's now carpetbag steak. So it's basically a filet steak stuffed with oysters. Some people use a sirloin strip. The filet seems to be better for this. And I've seen recipes, people sometimes poach the oysters first, but really what you're trying to do is get that saline flavor of the oysters. The neat thing about oysters is you don't have to cook them too much. So if you're making a steak that's even rare in the middle, that's really enough heat to cook the oyster. So what we do is have a good 8-ounce filet, good portion. You want it from the thick piece of the filet, the wider end. And you cut a little slit in that, and then kind of with the knife back and forth, you make a little pocket in there. And some people put two oysters, maybe three, depending on the size of them, shucked oysters. And you kind of poke them in there with the handle of a spoon or something. And then either toothpick, butcher's twine would be a little overkill, probably just toothpick it. And a lot of people wrap these also with bacon, which is a way of putting a little bit of basting on the outside of the lean filet. And if you do it wrapped with bacon, that kind of, you can seal up the oysters in there, and you've got a really nice little dish there. Now, these, I would say, it could be broiled, could be grilled. Oftentimes with filet, I like to do them in the pan and not get too many dark marks on it. But you want heat coming from all around. So normally you would brown it and then finish it in a, say, a 450 degree or so oven. You want the bacon to get crispy. If you're doing it in a pan, you might, you know, roll it around on the bacon there to get it cooked. But you want to keep the meat rare to medium rare. And as I say, that's enough heat to warm the oysters. Now, as far as a sauce, most people don't have demi-glaze at home, the reduced veal stock. But if you can find some or buy some from your favorite restaurant, it's worth it to have. Otherwise, if you have homemade beef or veal stock, you can reduce it till it's thick. But in light of that, you could still do, some people use a simple garlic butter. You could use a brandy cream sauce, which would be something probably easier to do with a little mustard in it. Almost like a Diane sauce, little shallots. You could use white or red wine. White wine's fine. And reduce that. Then you have just some beef broth and some heavy cream and a little bit of mustard. You could throw peppercorns in there. So, but usually, you know, the carpetbagger would call for some kind of sauce, red wine sauce or a brandy cream. As I say, garlic butter. If you even want to stuff a little bit of that in there with the oyster and have a real neat thing, that would work also. But the carpetbagger steak would help celebrate a couple of our things from the last week, a little food holidays. And, of course, going on with the filet, the Wellington, another old school dish and great party dish, basically filet wrapped in puff pastry, although the real procedure would be to have the filet rubbed with goose liver pate, which is, of course, very expensive, and sometimes people don't like that. I guess you know, if you wanted to use a chicken liver one, you could. Oftentimes what people will do is make a duck sal, finely chopped mushroom, cooked mushrooms, and rub those on the filet. But really what you want to do is you need to sear the filet first, whether you're doing individual portions or a roast. You need to brown it first. You don't want to steam it all the way in the pastry. It's got to go to, you know, at least 90 degrees or so internal temperature. Get it up there to just below rare, and then let it rest. And then you have to rub your coating on it, whether using the mushrooms or the pate, and then wrap the filet in puff pastry, and then it goes in the very hot oven, the 425 degree or so oven. You need that high blast of heat to make the puff pastry work. Now, Wellington also can refer to preparations of, say, let's say salmon is very good as a Wellington. Some people could do vegetables. We did, Chef Paul over at Polytech, we did Irish dinner, corned beef Wellington. We had the corned beef layered with the cabbage and wrapped it in the puff pastry. It was a neat, elegant way to present that meal on St. Patrick's Day. So Wellington kind of implies that something's stuffed with puff pastry. Now, another trick, if you want to keep the puff pastry from getting soggy, would be to wrap the meat or the fish in a thin crepe first. And that would prevent the pastry from, sometimes the steam from the meat or the fish would make the inside layers of the puff pastry a little bit soggy. And that's why, of course, a Wellington, for me, even a pie dough or a short pastry would even be better, because you don't have to worry about that sogginess. I've even wrapped ham. I mean, you wanted a nice way to the boneless ham, which, you know, sometimes they look, you know, a little uninteresting. Wrapping ham in a pastry crust is always nice. I used to brush it with some mustard, even a little brown sugar if you like, and then wrap it in pastry. You can cut little decorative pieces, and what you got is, the ham heats up nicely, the pastry browns, you've got the pastry soaks up some of the juices, and you've got something nice to go with as your dish there. It makes a nice showpiece. But doing something Wellington. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. We'll come back and talk about a couple of these other Food Week topics here at Chef Bill's Table. With fire,
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disitel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the Chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, going through our letters W. Well, Wellington, we were just talking about the filet wrap and pastry. One of the nicer ones I've seen, actually, was, I think, from Narside David's years ago in, might have been San Francisco. It was called Chateaubriand Farci. Farci is for stuffing, kind of. And what this restaurant did, and I used this with great success. You know, the Wellington, sometimes people say, oh, the filet steams too much, it's hard to tell the temperature. What else can I do? And, of course, I guess with any of you that have watched Hell's Kitchen, the Wellington is usually the break point for a lot of the chefs there or the cooks. They can't seem to get it right. You've got to, you know, it's that... you want the pastry brown. You don't want the meat overcooked. It's hard. You don't know until you slice it open, you know, when you're doing individual portions. So this recipe called for making a what we call a force meat, finely ground mixture of veal. So it's almost like making veal meatloaf. You have your eggs in there and shallots, some seasoning, a little tarragon, Worcestershire sauce. And what we would do is roll that out to a thin sheet and then wrap the raw filet in that, so it's seasoning, it's coating, it looks like a big veal meatloaf, of course, but the inside is filet mignon. And you can roast this now at your standard roasting temperatures, you know, the 350, 375, and you can, you know, put your thermometer and you can temp it right. I've made individual portions of it also in one restaurant, but wrapping the filet with this meat, now you don't have that sogginess. The filet cooks perfectly from right through. If you want a medium rare, it's from edge to edge right through. Sometimes when you cook a roast, it's a little bit well done on the outside, and then it's more red in the middle. And this beautiful way to do, it's kind of a different take on a Wellington. And also, if you can't have pastry, I guess that would be the answer for you. Use the forest meat instead. Of course, zucchini, many ways to use zucchini. So one of the nicer renditions, it was a couple of weeks ago in the New York Times, the chef had just roast slices of zucchini. Don't bread it, don't fry it. Just layers of zucchini, simple tomato sauce, and some nice, if you like mozzarella, fine. If you want, it's just Parmesan. It was zucchini Parmesan, very, very, right down to its essence. And say roasting the zucchini versus frying it, which most people do, breading it and frying it, again, gives you an option that's gluten-free. Pasta ribbons can be made with zucchini, especially if you get the larger ones and you don't know what to do with them. You get them coming with a vengeance. As I say, well, last week we talked about that with our vegetable peeler. Or you can use a mandolin, just peel thick ribbons of the squash. And then you can boil it if you want, but I find just sautéing it with your, especially if you're using a clear sauce, I mean, it cooks it right away. And you've got a nice, I can't say no carbohydrates, there's some carbohydrate in there, but it's an interesting vegetable pasta that way. Now, as far as rice pudding, what do we do with rice pudding? Old school dessert, still served diners. I think Harvest Moon probably still serves it. It was an old Fenninger's dish, and Stanley probably carried the recipe from there. And I think they used to use the Japanese rice. I had a fellow work for me that had worked for the Fenningers, and he said they used the Japanese sticky rice. He made it a couple of times for us. It was very good. It's not your average diner rice pudding. What I found is, and of course, the Central American gentlemen that work for me, they have something called arroz con leche, and basically you're cooking rice in sweet milk, and we would use some cinnamon stick in there, the canela, the nice cinnamon's very, you know, important in that, and the stick is nice, you don't have little bits of bark floating around in there, infuses the rice. And I found an arborio rice works very well, too, the same rice used for risotto, short grain, nice and starchy. You need to cook it in milk, in the sweet milk, and cook it a long time. You want it cooked all the way. You don't want this to be al dente like a risotto. You want the starch coming off of there, and the guys will just eat it warm, just like that. That's almost like a breakfast thing. Or maybe with some fruit. I know what we did one time. We chilled it, and we'd macerated some cranberries in a little bit of brandy and folded that into the chilled rice and made a little, a wheat-free dessert. Not as heavy as ice cream. It was nice with the dried fruit in there. And also, you could use rum for that, too. Rum, of course, our beverage this week that, we have, many cocktails, obviously, especially the summertime. But the rum raisin, if you want something quick for dessert, of course, rum raisin ice cream, kind of a favorite. What we like to do is, again, take it from a fancy restaurant. Get a dish called Vesuvius. Think of Mount Vesuvius, the volcano. And what it was a flambé dessert. And I've used it. It's pretty simple, very neat, especially if you got somebody that if you want to have a birthday cake without a cake, just have something that you can light on fire. What we do is take some raisins, dark raisins, and we use 151 proof rum. Reason being is alcohol, if you're going to ignite it, you want to make sure that it's strong enough. Sometimes we're going to pour this on ice cream, so something that's cold like that may not ignite, but the 151 will always burn. And it's very strong. What we're going to do is, you know, burn off some of the alcohol anyway. So you soak the raisins in that. They'll plump up a little bit. And then you need to have vanilla ice cream. And what we like to do is, if you can get a cone-shaped scoop, it's nice. Otherwise, you kind of build up like a little mountain and put a depression in the top with the rounded edge of the scoop. And you put some of the raisins in there with very, you know, a little bit of the rum. But you sprinkle the raisins, some in the top there and then some down the sides. And you can ignite this. And that little bit of, with that little bit of the juice there from the soaking the raisins, and it's going to burn. And of course, that's going to caramelize the raisins even more. It starts to melt the ice cream a little bit. And of course, you've got the rum flavor. And you're burning off a good portion of the alcohol right away. Simple rum raisin ice cream, easy dessert, celebratory. Again, be careful of too much fire, but really, you know, the burning accomplishes a couple of things. It softens the ice cream, gets the raisins a little more caramelized, and then it burns off. You know, again, you're not having that real, real strong alcohol taste. So, I guess wrapping it up again, we've had a few food days of celebrations this week, tied them together. Enjoy, of course, your oysters and filet. I know the prices are high, but maybe we stretch it out a little bit with a Wellington or the carpetbagger steak would be a nice summer surf and turf, right? Remember your wok, if it's sitting there getting dust. Can adapt it for many recipes. So just a reminder, Corn and Tomato Festival, we'll remind you again next week, coming up the 23rd. Summer's getting to a close here. We start to look for tailgating and other things coming up. There's Labor Day, the last cookout for some of the season. So, yeah, the summer's closing down fast. But get out, enjoy local produce, local wines, local beers. Patronize your local restaurants, and also, you know, do some cooking yourself, obviously, with the good bounty here. Remember Oyster Day at Jake's every Sunday, Buck and Shuck Sundays, dollar oysters and $5 craft beers all day. Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week as we almost finish our alphabet and see what food holidays we can find next week. Talk to you later.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Six people have been arrested for ramming unoccupied police cars in the Las Vegas Valley since April. Deputy Chief Tom Roberts with the Metro Police says the suspects were doing multiple felony crimes per night.
What is really alarming is they're taking garage door openers and they're entering into garages while people are home asleep.
Police served several warrants at several local homes and businesses Friday. Police are investigating the violence that happened as the one-year anniversary of Michael Brown's death was coming to an end. Dozens of shots were fired during a late-night protest in Ferguson, Missouri last night. Authorities say a man opened fire directly on police. He was shot.